Praise the Lord. I'm going to talk to you about one of my favorite subjects. And the title of this is going to be called Remember Who You Are. You know, some people really don't know who they are. They're always trying to search for an identity. Well, God gives you an identity. In 1 Peter 2:10, New Living Translation, it says, once you had no identity as people, now you are people, are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you've received God's mercy. You know, you might have been nobody, but God identifies you as his person, his child. See, we need to stop looking around for our identity and begin to believe and understand who we are in Christ. Some people are mixed up about their identity, and they base things on the things that are subject to change. You know, everything in the world changes. You know, a little funny story. Two not so smart guys, they're going to break into a house. They were concerned that the owner might wake up. So one of them said to the other one, said, well, look, you go in first. If he wakes up, you just meow, and he'll think it's the cat. So that's what happened. And the guy said, the man of the house woke up and said, who is it? And he went, meow. And the owner said, oh, it's just the cat. When the second not-too-smart burglar came in, and the owner heard a noise and said, who is it? And this guy, he had forgot his identity and for what he's supposed to say. And so he responded, it's the cat. I don't think it went too well for those guys. Sometimes that's the way Christians are sometimes. They have not gotten into the Word enough to have a solid foundation for who they are in Christ. You know, your identity is based on who you are in Christ. You know, people identify with all kinds of things. Some people identify with their job so much as if they lose that job, they're insecure. They don't know what to do. Some people identify with a problem. Some people call themselves a victim. They call themselves sick, failure. You know, but these are in the natural. We need to find a solid foundation to who we are in Christ. You know, we can't afford to let somebody else define who we are. You know, Jesus went to his own hometown and they tried to define who he was in Mark 6:1. Jesus left that part of the country and turned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue. Many who heard him were amazed, and they asked, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed and said, oh, he's just a carpenter. He's the son of Mary. He's the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simeon. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Here we see the people. They thought they knew who Jesus was. They said he is a carpenter. Oh, that's just Mary's boy. You know, they said, we know his brothers and sisters. They all live here. You know, I've been gone from my hometown for a long time. But if I go back there and people see me, they identify me with where we were. If it's some of the old school buddies, they holler Hagen at me because that's what we call. We had six guys in the sixth grade. We all went up through school together, and we were all named Kenny, Ken, or Kenneth. There's six of us, so they stuck the name Hagen on me, and Kenny Leatherwood. They called him Leather, and Kenneth Hunter. They called him Hunter. So. But they just stuck names on us, you know. And then if somebody says Kenneth Wayne, then I know they're identifying me as a family member or somebody that hung around the house and hung around the family so much that they felt like family. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know? Because they don't understand, and none of them, even my own family, when I go back home, they don't understand how large this ministry is, how worldwide it is. They have no concept of it. They still identifying me as I was with them growing up. And you probably are the same way. But that's not really you. You're who God says you are.
Amen. Yes, amen.
You know, the devil tries to define you. He tries to define you with your past. He tries to identify you with what other people say about you. Man, if I went with that one, I'd go crazy because they say everything about me. But I don't care. I'm doing what I do, and I'm secure in who I am in Christ. You got to get secure in who you are in Christ.
Amen.
You know, some people, you know, they try to identify, or the devil tries to identify them with experiences or whatever. But you know, we need to realize that we are who we are because of Christ. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, you're unacceptable. You live in the wrong place. Or somebody will say, oh, you'll never make it because nobody in your family has. Hey, that doesn't have anything to do with it. I challenge you to remember who you are in Christ. You know, when you become somebody in Christ, your whole world can change. Really. My dad, if you've ever read any of his stories or heard him preach, he talks about he wasn't a very good student or anything until after he got born again. And after that, everything changed. In fact, he had a memory that was unreal, you know, because we got to remember who we are. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, he has defined us by that. See, we become a new person in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know what it says. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The New Living Translation says that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. The Wade translation says, so if anyone becomes united to Christ, he is a fresh creation. The original conditions have passed away. They have been replaced by new conditions. The Living Bible says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. J.B. Phillips version, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. And when it's using the word man there, it is a universal term meaning mankind, everybody, every person. See, spiritually speaking, our identification is in Christ. In the natural, you carry identification to identify who you are. You go to the bank. I go to the bank. I go through that drive-thru all the time. And in fact, I drive up and the person will punch the button and say, hello, Mr. Hagan. But if I am making a deposit and I want cash back, I still have to put my driver's license in the deal with my check for identification purposes. They know who I am, but you still have to identify yourself. It's a legal document. You know, any of you flown on an airplane recently? I got one person. Well, here's another one over here. You're not going to get on that airplane unless you have an identification to prove who you are.
Amen.
You know that?
Oh, yeah.
What does the identification gives you access to stuff? Now here's these people up here singing. Most of them, have been students or are students, and they had a deal that they wore. It's called an identification badge. Had their picture on it that identified them as a student at Raymond Bible College. And anywhere they went in town, they could use that as an identification point. You know, the Bible tells us who we are in Christ. That is that's an official legal document.
Amen.
You know, when we really begin to understand who we are in Christ, we become stronger. And our past doesn't have anything to do with us anymore. We're stronger than our family lineage. And we all, most of us anyway, are proud of our families. But this identification is stronger than family lineage. This identification is stronger than what you do in life. This identification is stronger than any situation, problem, or anything else that you're going to face. See, you won't experience the benefit of who you are in Christ until you understand what the Bible says about who you are in Christ.
Amen. Yes, amen.
God identifies us with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, and also in where we are seated. It says that Christ is seated at the right hand. You go read there in Paul's writings, and he says, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Anybody ever read that? That's because of who you are in Christ. Your true identity is who you are in Christ. And when you begin to really understand your identity in Christ, you become a stronger and a more stable Christian. Your faith will work better. Your prayer life will be better. And you'll walk in a new level of authority. Now, this is one of my favorite subjects. I teach it at Rhema. It's called Redemptive Realities. And how many of y'all been in Redemptive Realities? Now, I get about 16 classes in there, I think it is, 8 weeks and 2 classes a week. And I really get to going and getting to preaching in there. And sometimes we end the class on a shout. But you need to when you really begin to understand who you are in Christ, it'll excite you. You should get excited about who you are in Christ. You know, God calls us who we are as he sees us, not as somebody else sees us. He calls us who we are in Christ. See, he called Gideon a mighty man of valor, and he was hiding from the enemy, but he came out to be one. He changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many, and he didn't have any. See, when we receive Christ as our Savior, he changes our identity. Instead of sinner, he calls us Christian. Instead of lost, he calls us found. Instead of enemy, he calls us friend. Instead of unrighteous, he calls us righteous. Instead of sick, he calls us healed. Instead of poor, he calls us prosperous.
Come on now. Let's go.
Knowing what God calls you from the Word, reading the Word of God, establishes who you are in Christ and your strength. Now, we have to accept what God says about us and believe it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know it. He calls us new people in Christ, new creations. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he calls us the righteousness of God. In 1 Peter 2:24, he called us healed. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, he calls us rich, whether we look like it or not. And, you know, in Ephesians 1:6, he calls us accepted. In Romans 6:20-22, he calls us free. In 1 John 4:4, he calls us the overcomers. We have overcome the world because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. See, we need to know who we are in Christ. You know, my father wrote a little book. It's called In Him. Anybody ever read In Him? It's got almost all the in him, in whom scriptures in it. And this really helps you to discover your identity in Christ. And, you know, we need to make this a part of our daily confession of who we are in Christ. You need to confess it until it becomes such a reality to you. You know, confess who you are in Christ. You know, Dad said in that book on page 9, he said, everything the Bible says is ours, legally. The Bible is a legal document sealed by the blood of Jesus. However, it is your believing it and confessing it that makes it a reality. Amen. Hand me that book, Glenn. I see you got it in your hand. It's just a little book. And it's got, here it is, all by his blood, with him, by me, in him, in my love, in his name, through Christ, through him. All these scriptures in here, and he gives a few little teachings here in this. And, you know, it's just a small book. You can carry it in your pocket real easy. You know, you ought to look at that. You don't have to read all those scriptures, but you should read some of those every day. In fact, he's got, I don't know how many of them listed here in this. You don't even have to go look them up. He's already got them all listed out for you. He was really big on this. People talk about his faith, and that was good. But actually, his biggest thing was his love walk. But this right here, he said, if when people get a hold of this, know who they are in Christ, it changes everything.
Amen.
Brother John, you ever heard him teach on this? I know him. Brother John there is a retired pastor. And my dad preached twice for you, I think, up in Indiana. And, you know, Brother John is one of those that got in during the charismatic renewal. And I know Dad talked about preaching up there. But Dad, if any of you have heard him preach very much, you heard him talk about being in Christ. That was one of, besides faith, that was one of his strong points. See here, I want you to realize that you don't talk about who you should be or want to be. Talk about who you are.
Yes.
Confessing who you are in Christ puts you in a position to receive from God. You know, we must boldly declare who we are in Christ. We must boldly declare what we have in him. We must boldly declare what we can do because we're in Christ. Being in Christ all comes back to the authority of the believer. That's where you begin. When you understand who you are in Christ, then you will understand your authority. You have authority because who you are in Christ. Not because of who you are, but because of who you are in Christ. Because of who we are in Christ, we have the right and we are entitled to receive every promise that this word says belongs to us because of who we are in Christ. You know, a lot of people, they go through life and they never receive everything and they struggle. But if they'd get in the Word and learn who they are in Christ. I mean, read the Bible. Learn. Go. My dad used to say it all the time. You need to read the whole Bible, but you need to spend more time in the epistles. That's Romans through Revelation, but actually Romans through John, the first, second, third John there. That's the epistles that tells you who you are in Christ. It gives you all the things. That's where you can learn things. You need to go over there and learn how and read those Ephesians prayers that Paul prayed. Pray them for yourself.
Yes.
Put your name in there. My wife got me a Bible or New Testament, and it puts my name in there, and I read that, and I put my name in it. I read those scriptures. I have them here in my iPad, and I have them lined up, and I go read them about myself. Then I read them over my grandkids. Put their names in there.
Yes.
Read them over your kids. Put their names in there, that they'll have the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Come on now. See, we have the authority because of who we are in Christ to possess everything that belongs to us. Remember who you are in Christ and learn to get up every morning and confess who you are in Christ.
Yes.
You know, you need to learn to do that. Anybody get anything out of this?
Yes.
Amen. I mean, I haven't went very late already. It's just 20 minutes. But I went through it fast. But once I get excited about something, I just go. That's my evangelist coming out. I was an evangelist for many years, and then the Lord changed me to be a pastor. But that evangelistic comes out. But when I get to talking about who we are in Christ, I get excited because it's something to get excited about. Because you begin to understand, you get understanding who you are in Christ. Let's stand up right now and make some confessions and just close this thing out. I've preached long enough. Y'all say this with me, or after me. I am crucified with Christ.
I am crucified with Christ.
I am a new creature in Christ.
I am a new creature in Christ.
I am raised up with Christ.
I am raised up with Christ.
I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
I'm a member of God's family.
I'm a member of God's family.
I'm an heir of God.
And
a joint heir with
Jesus Christ.
I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. I am chosen in Him. I'm adopted by Him. I'm accepted by Him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am justified by faith. I am sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are somebody filled with the power of God, going somewhere to raise hell. R-A-Z-E. That means tear down the devil's kingdom. Raise, R-A-Z-E, means to tear down, to destroy. That's who you are. You are a child of God, full of the power of God, full of the Holy Spirit. And your duty in this world is to stand strong and live in your authority and receive everything that God has for you and be ready to attack the devil every time he sticks his head up. Amen. Because of who you are in Christ. Who are you? The righteousness of God in Christ. That's the right answer. Anybody ask you who you are? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Who are you? They're going to look at you funny. That's all right. May be an opportunity to do a little witnessing, do a little preaching, do a little teaching. See, every member is a minister. I got a sermon to call that. Every member a minister. Every member of the body of Christ is a minister. We're all ministers. Some of us just have a higher authority, a higher calling than others. Just like when I was in the service, that old sergeant, he said, hey, we're all in this together. We're the same, but I've just got a higher rank than you do. We all doing the same thing. We're all in the same thing. What for? To tell the world about Jesus Christ and help them to get to where we are and to receive all the blessings that we've received. How many of you received blessings since you've been born again? Amen. How many of your life changed because of who you are in Christ? Amen. Let's tell somebody else about it. Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise God. I trust you got something out of that. What? Oh, you got a song?
It says, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation in Christ. Come on, let's declare one more time. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation.
Well, is anybody here? You're not, you know, you're not born again, or you're not where you're supposed to be with God. I want to pray with you and get you on the right track. Anybody want to be healed today? If you do, come on down here. We'll pray for you. If you want to lay hands on you for healing. We got one prayer cloth here. This is arthritis. So let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I lay hands on this cloth according to the word of God. Acts 19:11-12. They took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul, and they laid on the sick. They recovered. Also, the woman touched your clothes, and power flowed out, and she was healed. I thank you that healing power going to this cloth, when it's taken to that person, I thank you that same healing power will flow out and flow into that body. Drive out this arthritis in Jesus' name. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God. You know, y'all get the opportunity of having me, which I'm different, and Craig's a different than I am. And then Brother Tad, when he comes over, he's different than Craig or me. So you get the opportunity to have different styles of ministry. I'm a little more fiery, I think, sometimes. But I don't know, Craig's getting that way. Recently, he's getting more fiery. But, hey, it's good to enjoy the ministry that the Lord sends to you. I was telling the church this morning over there in Tulsa, our Broken Arrow, you know, when you go to church, I don't care if you've heard sermons on that same subject for many times, if you'll open up your heart and listen, you'll get something new every time. You know how many times I heard my dad preach on Mark 11:23? How many of you know about my father teaching on Mark 11:23? So some of you do. He was well known in the circles, very well known. I heard him preach hundreds of sermons from that verse of scripture. I think he said one time he had over 150 different outlines from that portion of scripture. But you know what? As I got a little, first when I was a small kid, he's preaching that again. In fact, my kids were smaller and they traveled with me. And we were doing one night stops. We went all the way from Tulsa all the way up into the Dakotas and across Wyoming, Montana, and all down and back to Tulsa. It was a 25-day. We were end up driving, riding and driving the bus. I helped drive. And they were, I don't know, what, about 10 and 6 maybe. And so we were doing these one-night stands. I mean, we'd preach, and then we'd drive and get to the next place and preach and drive and get to the next place the next day. And because it was territory that I knew the people, they didn't know a lot about faith and stuff, and I preach a lot on the children of Israel, and they finally, what they say to me, you're not going to preach that again or something, but they learned like I did when I got a little into, got up in my middle teenage years. I began to realize that if I'd listen when he was preaching, I'd get something else out of that sermon that I'd never heard before. Do you understand that you can hear a person speak like I did tonight, and you go get the CD that was made of that service, and then you play it again, you'll hear something that you didn't hear, and you were right there in the service. I've done that before too. Why am I saying all that? I'm encouraging you, every time whoever's speaking, pull everything you can from them, because you're going to get something new if you'll pull. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's sermon number 2. Okay. And before I go into sermon number 3, let's go. Okay. Next Sunday night, 6:00. Be here. Craig will be here to minister to you. And we're starting camp meeting over there. Amen. Praise God. Well, hey, take advantage of some of that food out there. God bless you.